I love to worship God. You know, friends, I hope you like to worship God because that's what you're going to be doing in heaven. It's the one thing we can do here. We're joining in with heaven in worship and song and adoration and celebration. Continually, heaven's song is singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, who was and is and evermore shall be. He is worthy to be praised. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain for the sin of the world. Holy, holy, holy is His name." Whoo! We're going to be around the throne with angels. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I think about that. I really feel in my heart sometimes we get so distracted with life that we forget. He's in control, friends. He's over this thing. He loves us. We are going to spend eternity with Him. Eternity. Yes. Eternity. Yes. Forever and ever and ever. For those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice, for those of us who have said yes to the bridegroom when He offered us the new covenant in His blood, and we said yes, we are going to spend eternity with Jesus. Yes. Eternity, forever and ever and ever. This is but a moment, but yet we make this moment everything. Friends, we need to live for eternity. We need to live now as though we are this is not our home. We have established this as an anchor sometimes. Friend, what has a hold of you? It's time to let go and let God have it all. It's time to let Jesus have the wheel of your life. It's time to let Him take control. What are you waiting for? What are you hanging on to? What in this world has such a hold? Because the only thing we're going to take with us, friends, is the souls that we lead to Jesus. We don't do the saving. He does. We lead them, though, to the One who led, who saved us. Amen? We lead them to Him. We engage this world. And that we're going to talk about this a bit today. Now, I promise I'm going to get you out a little earlier today, okay? So 1:30 sounds real good, right? All right. Okay. We're good. All right. All right. I love to worship God. I do. Let's stay in a place of worship. I do want to say this, because I know some of you, if you feel like you have to stand, okay? Some of you have a hard time standing for a long period of time. It's okay if you need to sit down, all right? You don't have to like, you know, if you really need to do that, that's fine. But if it's natural for you to stand and participate and be part, but if you do need to sit, just don't check out. Just keep worshiping. Amen? I mean, I don't want you to ever feel that, you know, you have to do that. I want you to feel comfortable in that, and I don't want you to have to strain physically just to actually worship the Lord. Amen? Are we good with that? Okay. All right. And we're not going to judge anybody for sitting down, right? Okay. All right. Unless you're one of these young guys. Okay. You guys can stand. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Proverbs 29:18. It says, "Where there's no vision, people perish, but the one who keeps the law is happy." In other words, in another version, it says, when people do not accept divine guidance or vision, they run wild. Everybody say wild. Wild. All right. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Did you know that people are sifting through life? It doesn't take long to look around, and you can see that life is a bit of a cesspool if you really think about it. They're sifting through all kinds of garbage and muck and debris and all this stuff that's out there, and they're looking for truth. They're looking for meaning, and they are looking for purpose. Amen? Friends, we have the answer as a Christian. If you are a Christian here today, if you have Jesus Christ in your life, and I'm not talking about what brand you are. I'm not saying if you're an Assemblies of God or a Baptist or whatever it is you want to call yourself, because you're not going to hold that badge up to Jesus one day, and you're not going to stand in front of God and say, well, I went to Canton Assembly of God, or I went to First Baptist, or I went to this church or that church. What you're going to do is answer the question, what did you do with my son? What did you do with Jesus? Because that's the only covering. It's not a church covering. It's the only covering that you and I are going to have when we stand before God, is whether or not we have Jesus covering our lives. That's the only covering. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus. You see? There's not 152 different ways to get to heaven. There's one. And it's through Jesus Christ. Somebody told me once, God does not have any grandchildren. Now, I love my grandchildren. They're over here. I love them. Little Jackson saying amen. Yeah, come on, buddy. Speaking in gums. Ha, 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 ha. Another cornball joke, I know. Just full of them today. I love my grandchildren, but I can't save them. You see, God only has children. He only has sons. He only has daughters. Everybody has to give an account. Kids, you don't get in on mom and dad's shirt tails, okay? You got to make your own decision to serve and live for Jesus. You can have the greatest mom and dad in the world, but the bottom line is you have to make a decision whether you're going to serve Jesus or not. I got to get back on track here, okay? We have the answer. And I'm going to tell you, it's not in a creed. It's not in conquering some milestone in this world. It is not simply fulfilling a bucket list. You remember that movie? It was very popular. Most of you probably saw it. It's a pretty good view. But it's just about these two guys that are at the end of their life. They're dealing with physical problems. And they want to do all these things this life has to offer before they die. But I'm going to tell you, a bucket list isn't going to get you into heaven. All right? And I think it's fun to have some of those things and experience life to the full. But let the Spirit of God guide you in your bucket list. How about that? You can be a millionaire, all right? And you can still be unhappy. Now, I would really like to try that. I don't know about you, but I mean, wouldn't you like to just try it once to have $1 million in your bank account? I'm not seeing anybody raise their hand, all right? Okay, y'all must have millions, right? But the bottom line is, it would be great to try, but that's still not going to make me happy. It's still not going to fulfill the greatest longings of my heart. I'm just going all over up here, aren't I? You can have your dream home. You can have a dream job, and you can still be empty on the inside. You can pursue a wall of degrees. You can achieve prestigious awards. You can even receive recognition for those things, and still be unfulfilled. You can get married, or you can be like me. You can have a supermodel for a wife, or a supermodel for a husband, if one of you. You could have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and there's still something missing, you see. A few years ago, I met this guy, his wife. It was really, I can't even remember his name. He was from Rockford. He was a pastor up there, and he came and he talked. And his wife won some contest. It was Mrs. America, and she was Mrs. America, so all of a sudden he became Mr. America, you know, and I kind of like that idea. Another cornball story. You can pursue enlightenment. You can have balance, yin, yang. You can hug a tree. Or surround yourself with 52 cats, if that's your thing. Yeah, you can be a cat lover. I love my cat, by the way. I have become a lover of one cat. His name's Carl, and he's a good cat. But you can surround yourself with everything that this life has to offer and still be unfulfilled. You can still be empty on the inside. You can insulate yourself from the world around you And you can still be full of anger and despair. You could not let anybody touch you and think that you're somehow protecting yourself and still be hurting and desperate on the inside. You see, none of these things provide what is needed, because my purpose and meaning in life don't come through all of those things. It only comes through a relationship. It only comes through a relationship with Jesus. Is it really that simple, Pastor? Yep, it is. It is. You want to find fulfillment in life? Christ is the answer. It is. Christ is the answer. His love is pure. His love is undefiled. It's untainted by human limitations. His love is really the only thing that can fill the void that we all have without Him. The relationship that brings freedom and strength is found in Christ. It brings purpose. It brings meaning to the things that we do in life, because many of those things that I listed for you, having a home, having a good job, having even money and the things of this life, those are not bad things, are they? But when those things are the object of our affection, something is going to be out of kilter. Something is going to be missing, and that something is Jesus. But Jesus, when He has control of all those things now simply become resources for the kingdom of God, because I'm surrendered to Him. The relationship that brings freedom and strength is Christ. He's the very foundation that we build our lives on as believers. Many of us sit. We have the answer, don't we? Okay? We watch people fall. We watch people stumble, pursuing purpose, meaning, all coming up empty in all these different areas of life, and we never even open our mouths or share the life-changing love that's available to them through Christ Jesus. I think that's tragic. I really do. Now, I'm a pretty fun-loving guy, all right? I really am. But there are certain things that kind of really get to me, and this is one of them. Why on earth, if we have such an awesome, wonderful relationship with a Savior that's fulfilling our lives, and giving us peace and joy in the middle of strength and or strife and turmoil and the storms of this life, why on earth would we not be willing to share that with somebody? But much of the time, we stand silent. Friends, I want to say this. We don't need another study. All right? You don't need to hear another one of Pastor Craig's sermons. What we need is to be His hands extended to the world around us. Because if all you're doing is coming here to listen to a sermon once a week and then go back home and never affect the world around you, then why are we doing this? See, we're called to be salt. We're called to be light. We're called to season and bring flavor to life. We're called to show people the way. And there's a way to do that. I'm not talking that you have to just go get in their face. We were talking about that in our small group this morning. But are you at least willing to earn the right to speak into their lives? Are you still with me? Okay. All right. See, as we do this, we will experience His blessing and fulfillment, both as an individual and as a corporate body. Why? Because it's His agenda. It's His agenda. So, I don't have that little clicker thing, so can you put that first slide up there if you would? The next one. Engaging the world is heaven's priority. It's heaven's agenda. And what this means, that anyone who belongs to Christ, now this is 2 Corinthians 5, okay? We know these scriptures. But it says this, the old life is gone, the new has begun, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. God has given us the task of reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And this is the crux of it. Is that scripture up there, the next one? Yeah, it's right there. Underline there, and He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Another version says that he has entrusted us with the glorious gospel, the message of reconciliation to the world. He has entrusted that to you and to me as believers to make sure that we go out and engage the world and share Jesus with people. That is what we are called to do as his sons and daughters. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it says this, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove to be faithful with that trust." Friend, here's a tough question, okay? Are you trustworthy? Are you trustworthy with this message that God has given you? Are you trustworthy with the message of reconciliation, to be a light, to be a witness, to share Jesus with others in your world? You see, last week we had a beautiful time around the communion table, didn't we? And so much of the time, we remember the sacrifice, which we are called to do, but it's so much more than that. As we have looked at the bridal imagery in a Jewish marriage, we understand that not only was Christ, are we remembering the body and the sacrifice and the blood that was poured out for our sins, but we are also remembering this. We are remembering that when Jesus offered us the cup of the new covenant, we said yes to engaging the world. We said yes to the message of reconciliation. We said yes to his ways and not merely our own. Amen?
Amen.
That's part of this glorious opportunity that you and I have. So the next thing that we looked at was this. Engaging the world is a wholehearted matter. And that's really where we kind of focused last week. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, with all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working to the Lord and not just simply for human masters. We looked at Caleb and Joshua. They were the only two that entered into the promised land. Amen? Why? Because they served God wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly, not just part. They didn't compartmentalize Jesus. Remember a few weeks ago we had little Jesus in the oil vial. They didn't just tuck him away every time somebody didn't like him. It's all part of who we are, friends. Now, when I was I used to do a lot of youth ministry, and he's really having a hard time here this morning, isn't he? It's okay, brother. I'm with you. When I used to do youth ministry, one of the things I would tell the young people, and I think this applies to whatever phase of life, he's really going for it, man. Whatever phase of life that you're in, and whoever you're with, there's this thing called being a chameleon, all right? Does everybody know what a chameleon is? Now, I don't know how it scientifically all happens, but they have this unique ability to change colors with their environment, don't they? They can actually blend into that wall there, or blend into the banner, or it could blend in with this incredibly Hawaiian shirt here that my brother's wearing this morning. It wouldn't matter. It blends in with the environment. So when you're a chameleon, if you're with this group of people, you're this way. If you're with this group of people, you act this way. Well, eventually, your two groups somewhere are going to meet. And the question I always ask them, who are you going to be? Who are you going to be when the two come together? You see, I know many people, they go to work and they have this identity at work of being this one way. And then they got this identity at church. I think I told you this story maybe a couple years ago. I don't know. It's been a while. But I remember I met this guy. He came out to my work. I hired him to do some gas piping for us. And he was the most foul-mouthed, effing this, effing that. I mean, it was just bang, 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 bang. I couldn't even believe it. And I just finally looked at him. I said, yeah, you really like that word, don't you? Oh, yeah, you know. I said, well, I don't. Well, here's the thing. It was a neighboring church, Assemblies of God Church up in Galesburg. And I remember, because I was going up in Alpha at the time, and I walked in on a Wednesday night. We took our youth group up there, and that was when they used to have Royal Rangers and all this stuff. And I walk in, and here he is. He's got the old Royal Ranger Commander shirt on, and he's teaching our young boys. And he locked eyes with me and was like, the two worlds collided. Who are you going to be, friend? We're not called to be chameleons. We're called to be a Christian. You're a Christian whether you're at work, whether you're at church on Sunday, whether you're in the grocery store on Tuesday. It doesn't matter. Whether you're having a conversation with your leaders or whether you're having a conversation with your wife, you are a Christian. Why do we change based upon our environment? We're not called to do that. We're called to be consistent and live for God. Now, I know I might be stepping on a few toes today, okay? But there is a call for us to raise the standard, not lower it. Jesus raised the bar. He didn't lower the bar. He raised it. You understand what I'm saying with that? He took it from the actual act of murder to hating your brother being the same thing. He took it from the actual act of adultery to thinking about it or lusting after another person as being the same thing. Friend, He raised the bar. There's none of us that are righteous in and of ourselves. It's only through Christ. And why on earth then? Why can't we get it in here and live for Him? Now, I'm preaching it to this guy too. You need to understand that. But the bottom line is the Holy Spirit desires for you and I to live right before Him. You see, you and I are going to stand before Him one day and give account. Now, today, in the few minutes that we have remaining, I just want to touch on something that's a little tough sometimes. Because engaging the world has eternal consequences. And as we engage the world around us, my question to us is this: do we walk with an awareness of eternity? Do we walk with an awareness that we can step into eternity at any point? I've shared my story with you. Kelly and I had a mutual friend. His name was Kevin. And I remember when he died, he didn't wake up that day and think that he was going to die. He was in a tragic accident. And I'm going to tell you what, things happen in life. We are not guaranteed tomorrow, are we? But we need to live ready. I've preached at funerals where people are ready and it's obvious. They were Christians and they loved Jesus and it was a harmonious, beautiful celebration. I've also been in those situations. You just don't know. Can I just ask you something, friends? If you're a Christian here today, live like you're a Christian. Don't leave any doubt for those who are left behind when you leave. Let them see the genuineness. I'm not talking about perfection, but let them see the genuineness of your relationship with Jesus. Let them see the goodness of God flowing through you. Don't be afraid. Don't give in to pride. Let God flow through you. Amen? Amen. Something motivated the early disciples. And I dare to say that that something was an awareness of eternity. When you think of the story of Stephen the Martyr that we looked at a few weeks ago, when you look at how Paul, he was stoned at Lystra, he was dragged to the edge of the city, and in the pile, a heap pile, bloodied and broken, stood up and went back into the city, you see. Peter had the same thing when he was in prison and he was released. He didn't go away from the city. He could have run to the Judean hills, but he went back into the city. Why? Because that's the place he was called. Yeah. You see, there was a sincere revelation of the consequences of entering eternity without Jesus. You can put that next slide up. Next one. Next one. Hell is real. Oh, we don't talk about hell in church, do we? Hell is real. It's a real place. It's uncomfortable. But we have to face it. When Holy Spirit put this on my heart, I didn't want to preach about this. And I'm not bringing a real deep message on this. My hope is that we would be motivated with the understanding that when a person passes into eternity without Christ, hell is real. Hell is real. William Booth, some of you may have heard of him. He was the leader of the Salvation Army. And this is a quote from William Booth. It says this: "I consider that the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell." Friend, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. You know me, friends. I am all about the love of God, but I'm also, there's something that got in me very early on when I got saved, and that was the reality that I could have entered into eternity without Jesus. Why He spared my life, I'll never know, other than He has great love for me. And I'm very thankful. It's motivated me to share Jesus with people, to earn the right to share Christ with them. We live in a society that wants really nothing to do with Jesus. We live in a society that is skeptical of everything you say about Christ in the church because they try to say things about, you know, hypocrites and this and that. We live in a society that's telling parents, don't drag your kids to church. Don't force them to do anything. Can I just say that the Bible tells us to train up our kids, our children, in the way that they should go. But it also says to live at home like you do in church. Do we send them a mixed message? Is it really the fact that we took them to church, or is it the fact that we lived one way in church and another way outside of church? God help us. God help us. The wages of sin is death. And because God is a God of justice, He is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God who covers all sin with His precious blood. He's the God that said it is finished on the cross. And when it was finished. It wasn't to be continued. It was done. It was complete. And those of us who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Listen to some of these scriptures. You can go ahead and put in on that altar. All you have to do is Google scriptures on hell. One side had 47 different scriptures. Here's just a few. Some descriptions of hell. The smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest, day or night. These worshipers of the beast and its image and whoever receives the mark of its name. It says, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might, all because they rejected Jesus and the message. It says that it's better for you to enter life lame than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. Hell is reality over and over in the Scriptures. Thessalonians, in Mark, it says that Matthew 25, He will say to those on His left where He's separating the sheep and the goats, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In Jude 1:13, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. These are descriptions of hell. And these will go away into eternal punishment. Eternity is real. It's just, where are you going to end up? It has everything to do with what you say to Jesus. His winnowing fork is in His hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into His barn. But the chaff He will burn with an unquenchable fire. Do not fear those who cannot kill the soul, okay? It says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. I'm just letting the Word of God speak to you, okay? While the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness in that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I could go on and on, but the one that probably sticks out more than most to me is the one that's on the screen there, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. Anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. God help us. I'm not trying to scare people into heaven or a relationship with Jesus. You can't do that. I'm talking to you, Christian. I'm talking to you, beloved. Do you live aware that people are entering into eternity? Do you even care that your neighbors may not even know Jesus? Are we so self-absorbed that we can't share the love of Christ with people? It really doesn't take a lot. I've said this to you before. You don't have to be a theologian to share the love of God with somebody. We do need to be studied. We do need to be men and women approved of God, studied. We need to know the Scriptures. We need to know why we believe what we believe. But there comes a point in time where you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't have a heart to share Jesus with somebody, there's something wrong. I would not wish hell on my worst enemy. I wouldn't wish hell on the worst offender in this life. And sometimes we read the headlines and we say things like, well, they got what they deserved. Really? Do we get what we deserve? Oh, I could go through a grocery list of sins for you. And we could say, yeah, that's right. A dear woman once told me when I first got saved, and I said, I really want to share Jesus with people. She looked at me and she said this. She said, when I got involved in ministry, I realized one thing. Sin is sin. To God, sin is sin. Oh, but look. Oh, but some are but the abominations and this and that. Oh, but sin is sin in the light of God. If you're guilty of one, you're guilty of them all. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That's you and me and everybody. And I'm going to tell you, we have a prison in town here that's full of people that have committed horrible things. We have people outside that have committed horrible things. But I'm going to tell you, we also have people in that prison. Though they've committed horrible things, they're forgiven. And they've been set free because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus doesn't stop at the prison door. The blood of Jesus goes right into those prisons. It goes right into those horrible situations. It goes right into those crack houses. It goes right into those drug-infested places. It goes right into those sexually immoral places. And it flows in with His love and His mercy. And it sets people free. The The reason I brought this to you today was not to bring condemnation to anybody. It was to make you think. Do we realize that people are stepping into eternity every day? When I was a little boy, I remember, you know, you'd have these pictures of what hell is. You think hell was about a Halloween, red-faced little guy with a couple of horns on his head. Pitchfork, trident, whatever you call it thing. It's a lot more than that, friends. I didn't want to believe in hell. So I said to myself, well, I just don't believe in hell. I just believe in heaven. You can't have one without the other. But if God's such a God of love, then why would he ever send? No, they're sending themselves there because of sin. God provided a way for us through Christ. Now I know, I don't even know if I really did this justice today. It's hard to know exactly what to communicate to you when it comes to this. But in light of engaging the world around us, my hope is this. My hope is that maybe this just triggered a thought that person next to me that doesn't know Christ, that says they're an atheist, that says that they're this, or they says they don't believe in God, if they step into eternity, hell is what awaits them. And my hope is that it will maybe trigger a thought to share Christ, to share his love, to share some hope, or be willing to actually take steps to earn the right to speak into their life. My wife deals with all kinds of people as a barista at Starbucks. She tells me sometimes her stories of people that she encounters. And I know one she's working with in particular. She's earning the right to speak. She's just showing love. Oh, they're pretty antagonistic even towards her. But you know what? She does. She sits there, and she's not perfect by any means. She'd be the first to tell you that. But I'll tell you what, she's on the front lines. And she's not backing down just because of that. She operates within guidelines and all of that. But when it comes down to it, and if she's forced, she shares Jesus. It's okay. I want to encourage you that way today. So let's stand. It's hard to have a message on hell and go away encouraged, right? I understand that. Lord, break our hearts for the lost. Father, this is such a heavy topic. It's hard to communicate your heart on this, but I do know this, God. We need a revelation of eternity. And we need to be so full of your love for people that we break just knowing that they could step into eternity without you, uncovered, and hell awaits them, Lord. If anything, God, just awaken our hearts to this truth. I pray, God, for your anointing to rest on each and every person. I pray, God, that if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you personally, that they would make sure that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's as simple, Father God, as acknowledging our sin before you, confessing our sin, embracing the faithfulness of your forgiveness, Lord, and allowing you, God, to come and cleanse and purify us, Lord God. Lord, it's our desire to live for you. It's our desire to be your children, your sons, your daughters, and God, to be a great light for you, Jesus. But I do pray that we will walk with an awareness of eternity. Put it in our hearts, God, like you did the early church fathers, those, God, who sacrificed and gave. And Father God, people like Jonathan Edwards, Father God, who had a true revelation of people dangling over hell. People like William Booth, Lord God, who put it all on the line, Father God, for your glory. I pray, Jesus, for our modern day saints, Lord God, that are on the front lines, Father God, of ministry. Many that are out there, God, giving everything that they have each and every day. May we, Father God, have that same heart. I think of a person like Heidi Baker, Father God, who literally goes into villages, Jesus, and sees complete transformation. Why? Because she's yielding and she walks with eternity in mind. But let that awareness of eternity, Father God, become something that drives us to our knees in prayer. And I pray, God, that you would put a love so deep inside of us for people, Lord, that it would change us forever. Father, we surrender and we thank you. We thank you for the privilege, God, of living for you. In Jesus' name, and we all said together, amen. I want to say one more thing to you before you get out of here. Don't expect unsaved people to act like they're saved. Okay? Sometimes you just got to understand, they're seeing things through a completely different lens than you are. You don't have to go in there and point out every flaw or defend yourself. Some of us need to take a few bullets, all right? It's okay. You've got your shield of faith, all right? You got your helmet of salvation, your belt of truth, all right? Let God protect you, okay? Because we can so easily turn them away. Sometimes they're just testing you. Earn the right, and love them right where they're at. Amen? All right. God bless you all. Have a great week in Jesus. Amen.